Talk About It
podcast.
Well, good morning, good evening, good afternoon, whatever time of day you are listening to this. Welcome to the Let's Talk About It podcast. If you are new with us, we drop a brand new episode every first and third Friday of the month. So I'm so glad that you are with me today. I am so privileged to be with you wherever it is you are. Maybe you're driving, maybe you're working out, taking a walk, maybe enjoying the beautiful views or the scenery. Maybe you're cleaning in your house. I know, but wherever you are, I'm right there with you, and I love that I get to do this with you. Thank you for tuning in. But today's topic is called Open Your Heart. Open Your Heart. And I actually want to give a huge shout out to Pastor Mike Campbell, a great mentor slash spiritual like father of mine. He really, really opened me up to this. And so we're going to be talking out of 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1 through 13, if at any point you want to go back and read this on your own. So this is, we're going to do this a little different, all right? But I want to ask you guys a question right now. Here's my question to you. How many of you are desiring for God to do something big in your life? Or maybe you are struggling to believe God can do something big in your life. Well, Paul has a lot to say about this. And again, I'm reading now 2 Corinthians chapter 6, but to give the setup, 1 and 2 Corinthians are letters written by the Apostle Paul to the church of Corinth. And the church of Corinth consisted of believers who were very new to their faith. So they had dealt with many false prophets and individuals that would end up misleading a lot of the people of God. So during Paul's missionary trips and other travels, he had led many people to Christ and planted churches. But in the process, because these were individuals who were new to their faith, it was very easy for them to be manipulated by something or someone that goes against the things of God. So Paul ended up writing a couple letters to address it. So the first letter, hence the name 1 Corinthians, was written to the church of Corinth to deal with specific moral issues that was taking place within the church. All right. So that letter was addressed, and it addressed a lot of specific issues that was taking place within their local congregation. And many people were actually receptive to his correction. 2 Corinthians, however, was different because in this letter, he had to list his credentials, pretty much to show the people that his voice and what he had to offer was valid. Like Paul, in other words, was saying, I'm legit, guys. I'm not bringing this correction out of nowhere. I'm trying to help you guys out. So Paul is reminding the current believers to not listen to individuals who are teaching something different. And we may know them today in our world as false prophets. Or let me say it like this. We may not listen or follow anyone that goes against the gospel, what it stands for. But check this out. We do probably listen to things that aren't in line with the scripture. So Paul may be writing this letter to the church of Corinth to bring them correction because they're following another voice that's not of the Lord. But for being real, fam, we do the exact same thing. Like the church of Corinth, you may not be going blatantly out of your way to listen to a false prophet. I'm not saying that isn't a thing. I'm not saying that isn't a tension that's out there. But if we're being real, we're many more concerned about the voices of this world than maybe the voice of God. Maybe we're more concerned about the voice of our family than we are about the voice of God. Maybe we're more concerned about the voice of our culture or our society or what our political stance has to say or what our workplace says or what the social media says or what the media has to say. Like, let's be real. We may not be following a straight up false prophet or maybe a different religion, but if we are investing our time into the things of this world more than we are about the things of God, we might be out of alignment. And so I just want to bring some type of guidance and awareness and perspective with this. So this comes out of 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And I'm actually going to go ahead and start in verse 3 if you want to read this on your own later on. But just roll with me. I'm probably going to come in and out and break it down too for us, all right? So check this out. This is Paul talking. We live in such a way that no one will stumble because of us and no one will find fault with our ministry. And everything we do, we show that we are true ministers of God. We patiently endure troubles and hardships and calamities of every kind. We have been beaten, been put in prison, faced angry mobs, worked to exhaustion, endured sleepless nights, and gone without food. Let's just pause real quick. I don't know about y'all. I haven't gone through that type of stuff. I haven't been beaten down like that. I've been put in prison and faced angry mobs, and many of us may have worked to exhaustion and had sleepless nights, right? But Paul is saying, like, he's leading somewhere with this. He's basically saying, I've gone through all these things, and he's basically revealing the conditions of where he's at before he gets to his point, right? This verse 6, we prove ourselves by our purity, our understanding, our patience, and our kindness by the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you, but I want to be known as an individual that's more pure, that's more understanding, that's more patient, more kind. And maybe you have that same desire. So let me just ask you something. If you also want to have the desire of being more patient and understanding and kind and pure, how are you in alignment with the Holy Spirit? Because that's what Paul says. Paul says, if you want to be known as someone that's pure, understanding, patient, and kind, how are you in alignment with the Holy Spirit? And he says, by the Holy Spirit within us and by our sincere love. So Paul is saying, I'm only able to be understanding, patient, kind, and pure because of the Holy Spirit that's within me through his sincere love. So verse 7 goes on to say, we faithfully preach the truth. God's power is working in us. We use the weapons of righteousness in the right hand for attack and the left hand for defense. By the way, spiritual warfare reference and armor of God. That's Ephesians talk right there. Verse 8, we serve God whether people honor us or despise us, whether they slander us or praise us. Pause. Let's be real. How many of us refuse to say something and stand for something because we would rather please the people that are around us than we would rather please the voice of God? And Paul says straight up, I'm here to do the work of the Lord. Like, regardless if people attack me or they're praising me. We are honest, but they call us imposters. Verse 9, he goes on to say, we are ignored, even though we are well known. We live close to death, but we are still alive. We have been beaten, but not been killed. Our hearts ache, but we always have joy. We're poor, but we give spiritual riches to others. I love this. Ready? We own nothing, yet we have everything. That's that Psalm 23 talk right there. You know, where it says, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. Which, honestly, I've never really thought that version of it really does it well. Another version says, the Lord is my shepherd, I have all that I need. You might be going through something tough right now. You might be going through something heavy right now. But if you have said yes to Jesus, do you actually believe that you have everything you need? Because I'll be real, I do struggle with that. I've been walking with the Lord for 20 plus years, and there are times when things come at me, or I'm just in a hard season or a challenging situation or circumstance, and I'm asking myself, man, God, am I good? And I forget, if I have Jesus, I have everything. And Paul is saying, I own nothing, but I have everything. What about you? And then he goes on to say, verse 11, oh, dear Corinthian friends, we have spoken honestly with you. And get this, and our hearts are open to you. I'm coming back to that. Verse 12, there is no lack of love on our part, but you have withheld your love from us. I am asking you to respond as if you are my own children. And he ends it with this. Open your hearts to us. I want you to think about something. Why would Paul make a statement like that? Why would Paul state in verse 11, our hearts are open to you, and then say again in verse 13, open your hearts to us? It's because Paul is implying that their hearts aren't open. Paul is saying, your hearts are walled off. I asked you at the beginning of the message, how many of you are desiring for God to do something big in your life? I mean, how many of you are struggling to believe God can do something big in your life? And real talk, I've been there. I was just struggling with that a couple weeks ago myself. And here's what Pastor Mike Campbell reminded me of that I want to share with you. You might be desiring for God to do something big in your life, but maybe the reason why you're struggling to believe it is because your heart is just not open. So here's a question I want to ask you. How is your heart? How's the condition of your heart? Is it hard? Is it cynical? Is it critical? Is it soft? How is the condition of your heart? If your heart is in a place that's receptive to the things of God, it's probably because that our heart has been open and receptive to things outside of the things of God. Meaning, what has your attention? What have you been watching? What have you been listening to? What have you been consuming? Who have you been surrounding yourself with? How are your politics? How's your social media? How's your work-life balance? If you're struggling with having an open heart, I will challenge and ask you, how are you doing consuming anything that's outside of the Lord? Something I'm reminded of as Paul is talking through this, in addition to, you know, we have coworkers and family and friends. Guys, the people that you surround yourself with absolutely have an impact and play a role in the condition of your heart. The people that you surround yourself with play a massive role in the condition of your heart. Don't believe me? Check this out. Listen to what Jesus said. This is Jesus talking in Mark chapter 8, starting in verse 14. But the disciples had forgotten to bring any food. They had only one loaf of bread with them in the boat. As they were crossing the lake, Jesus warned them, "Watch out. Beware of the yeast of the Pharisees and of Herod." Verse 16. At this, they began to argue with each other because they hadn't brought any bread. Jesus knew what they were saying, so he said, "Why are you arguing about having no bread? Don't you know or understand yet?" And listen, here's the question they ask him. Hone in on this. Are your hearts too hard to take it in? And then he goes on to say, "You have eyes, can't you see? You have ears, can't you hear? Don't you remember anything at all?" And get this, basically Jesus is about to kind of do like check the receipts, man. Check everything that I've done in the past. Listen, this is what he says. Verse 19, "When I fed the 5,000 with five loaves of bread, how many baskets of leftovers did I have?" The disciples say, 12. That's how I read it in my head. Right? And then he asks him again, "And when I fed the 4,000 with seven loaves, how many large baskets of leftovers did you pick up?" 7. Some of y'all didn't realize that Jesus fed 1,000 people twice. And actually the text says when Jesus fed the 5,000 and fed the 4,000, it says the text said they just fed the men. It didn't include their wives and their kids. So it's actually estimated that Jesus fed probably closer to 15 to 20,000. Like, how awesome is that? But here's the point. Jesus is saying Jesus is giving this charge to his disciples when he says, "Are your hearts too hard to take it in?" Here's the deal, guys. It's not like the disciples haven't witnessed this yet. Remember, they only had one loaf of bread. And the disciples start to go at it. They're going back and forth like, "I can't believe," like, imagine Peter going, "Oh, daggone, Thomas, you only brought one loaf of bread." And Thomas going, "No, man, it was John's fault. He didn't do it." And Jesus knows what they're talking about. And he's going, "Are your hearts too hard to take it in? You guys were there when I fed the five with X amount of loaves of bread. You guys were there when I fed the 4,000 with only seven loaves of bread. And I had leftovers and you guys are still missing it." Why is this important? Because Jesus says, beware of the yeast of the Pharisees. Y'all know how bread is made, right? Well, if you don't, even with all the ingredients and everything they do, you only need a little bit of yeast in order for bread to expand. In order for bread to be what it is, you only need a small amount of yeast. It don't take a lot, okay? And so the Pharisees had a way of disrupting what Jesus was trying to do, not just in the disciples, but amongst the people that he's trying to serve. And Jesus is saying, beware of that. He's making this comparison. Jesus is making the comparison of the yeast of a Pharisee to an unhealthy, influential person in your life. So here's the question I want to ask you. What unhealthy, influential people do you have in your life? Is it possible that you're missing out on the things or the bigness of God, of what he wants to do in your life, simply because you're hanging around the wrong people? What unhealthy, influential people do you have in your life that Jesus is warning you, just like the disciples, to beware of? Is it possible that we're missing out on things because we keep consuming things that is outside of what God has in store for you simply because of the company that we keep? And this is hard because oftentimes unhealthy, influential people is not just people from a distance. Oftentimes they're people that are closest to us. Oftentimes it's that friend that we grew up with or that family member. And so maybe the goal is, I'm not going to tell you what to do. That's between you and the Lord. For some of you, you might have to make that clean break. For others, you might not have to make the clean break, but instead of hanging out with them five times a week, it might only be one time a week. Instead of hanging out with them four times a month, it might only be once a quarter. I don't know. But what unhealthy, influential people do you have in your life, like Jesus said, is like the yeast of a Pharisee. And what Jesus is saying, be aware of that, because that is going to get in the way of what the Lord wants to do in your life. Because religious people are restrictors to your faith. Why? Because they have a hard heart. What religious people do have a way of getting us off track because of their hard heart. Your heart can remain closed off from God because of who you're surrounding yourself with. Your heart can also remain closed off from Christ simply because we don't dwell in the goodness of God. So let me ask you another way. How many of you can think of a time when God has done something great and powerful in your life that it blew you away? Like, think about that moment where you wanted him, you had this prayer request, whether it was a financial situation that came in last minute with that check or that direct deposit, or it was a sickness report and he came and showed up miraculously and healed you, or it was a job, whatever it is. But think about that time where you desperately needed the Lord and he showed up and provided for you. But I want you to remember this. Just like the disciples in Mark 8, right? They too had experienced the greatness of Christ. Remember, this isn't new. Jesus goes, are your hearts too hard to take it in? They've already seen Jesus feed the 5,000 and the 4,000 with a handful of fish and bread, right? And they start getting into an argument again with one loaf of bread. So here's where I'm going with it. You think about that time where Jesus showed up, God did a powerful miracle in your life. And I asked you, are you struggling to believe the Lord do something big in your life? Maybe part of the reason why you're struggling to believe for the Lord to do something big in your life is because, just like the disciples in Mark 8, you too have forgotten about the greatness and the goodness of God in your own life. And I can tell you, I do the same thing. Anytime I find myself stressed out, overwhelmed, fear, doubt, anxiety, whatever it is, I can tell you in that same moment, it's because I stopped dwelling on the goodness and greatness of God. I completely forget that the Lord has already shown up in miraculous ways in my own life. So when Jesus is asking disciples, are your hearts too hard to take it in? I'm not. I'm a disciple. And guess what? I'm willing to bet you probably are too. Because just like the disciples, we have a way of forgetting the miracles, the goodness, and the greatness of God, of what he has already done in our life. And so Jesus reminding us here, here's the point and the title of today's session. Open your heart. Open your heart. It's the only point I have of today. It's all 3 points, and it's the title of today's message. Jesus is saying, open your heart. Keep it open, because forgetting about the goodness of God has a way of hardening our hearts. Hanging around people, unhealthy, influential people, has a way of getting us into the mindset of hardening our heart. This is how Mike Campbell said it. He said, the only narrower of God's restriction is our heart. It is not his ability. I'm going to say it again. The only narrower of God's restriction is our heart. It is not his ability. How can God expand you with his vastness if we're limited? God wants to expand your inner person. And here's why. Number one is because he's a big, generous, loving God. And two, you are his daughter and his son, in which he wants to do great things in you, with you, and through you. Those are things that he wants to give. Our attitude, our mindset will always keep us from being and living in the fullness of God if our heart is not in alignment with the Lord. So here are some barriers that many of us have when it comes to having an open heart. And as I list these out, ask yourself, which one do you have? It might be one, it might be a couple. But just pay attention to some of these barriers. Number one, fear. You're so afraid that you end up paralyzed and do nothing, hence the term paralysis by analysis. Number two, it might be selfishness or self-centeredness. So the selfish mindset says, well, what's in it for me? What am I going to get out of it? Okay, these are barriers that get in the way of us having an open heart. Number three is pride. Pride says, I got this. I'll do me. You do you. I got this stuff. Maybe I'll come in over here and ask you for help over here. But pride says, I got it. Don't need anyone else's help. I got it because I can do it. Right? Number four, it could be inferiority, right? It's that feeling that says, I'm so unworthy of the goodness of God. So the mindset goes, I could never do that. I could never have that. Which, by the way, pride, which really falls into the category of superiority and inferiority, are tied to the same thing, which is insecurity. Because now you have placed your value on what you can do or can't do, or what you have or what you don't have. They're both signs of insecurity, regardless if it's superiority or inferiority. They're opposite ends of the spectrum, but tied to the same issue, which is insecurity. But what's getting in the way of you keeping an open heart from the Lord. Because here's the deal. Your past is not greater than the cross. And even more so, it's not greater than the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And if so, then we serve a small God. But we don't serve a small God. He's big. So what are your four barriers? Is it fear? Is it selfishness? Is it superiority, aka ego and pride? Or is it inferiority? What is it? And at the end of the day, once you address those things, you have to give that over to the Lord. So the question becomes, how do I open my heart? Right? Because I told you what, hey, this is what you need to do. Open your heart. You already know I'm practical. All right. So I ain't going just going to give you the what without giving you the how. So this is come out of Ephesians chapter 3. I'm going to go ahead and go to we'll start in verse 12. Because of Christ and our faith in him, we can now come boldly. Get this. Because of your faith in Christ, we can now come boldly and confidently into God's presence. You getting that? This is so important. So please don't lose heart because of my trials here. This is Paul talking. I am suffering for you, so you should feel honored. Verse 14, when I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father. This is beautiful. Catch this. Paul falls to his knees and prays to the Father. Like, when was the last time you just got on your knees and just fell at the feet of Jesus? Like, just know, like, God, you are so good and big. And he goes on to say, the creator of everything in heaven and earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources. Catch this, y'all. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, that he will empower you with inner strength through his spirit. I don't know about you. I want to be empowered, fam. I want to have supernatural strength. I want to have supernatural grace, not because of anything for me, but I desperately want to leave my mark in this world, pun unintended. I really do. I desperately want to leave my mark in this world because I don't want to get to heaven and find out, son, you did good, but you could have done great, simply because I felt so inferior in my own insecurities that I didn't step out into the fullness of the Lord. I want to get to heaven and hear the Lord say, well done, good and faithful servant. And you probably want that too. But if I want that, I need to step into the unlimited resources of the Lord, which comes through his spirit. And I can do that boldly and confidently, as Paul says. And listen to this. And it goes on to say, and then Christ will make his home in your heart. Tracking? In your heart. As you trust in him, your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should. Listen, how wide, this is beautiful, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. Do you guys not know? Romans 8 says it like this. God's love is so deep, so wide, and vast, and long, there's nothing that you can do that can separate you from the love of the Father. And Paul's saying it again in Ephesians. And he goes on to say, verse 19, may you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Isn't that incredible? Like, I'm sorry, I got to stop and pause and think about that. The love of God is, he's telling us to think about it, and he wants us to experience it. And he's saying, even when you experience it, it's actually still too great to understand. That's incredible. That just talks about the bigness and the vastness and the glory of the Lord. I just had to stay there and just take that in real quick. If you can hear that, that's my little baby niece screaming in the background. Verse 20, now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish, you ready? Infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever. Amen. I know that's a lot. So you know me, I'm gonna break it down for you guys. I got y'all, all right? So here's the thing. You know what? I'm gonna go ahead and change it up for y'all. Ready? Just a little tunes right here. I like it. So this is what we're gonna do. Listen, Paul says in verse 12, the first thing he says is this: come boldly and confidently to the presence of God. That's what Paul says. So what's the first thing that we need to do? Step one, go. Just go to the Lord. But Mark, I don't feel like going to the Lord. Go to the Lord anyways. I don't feel like he's there. Go to the Lord anyways. But Mark, I'm struggling with my faith. Go to the Lord anyways. Paul is saying, because you have said yes to Jesus, you have a confidence that you can come. In fact, the Lord wants you to come boldly to him. You can think about if you have kids, or even when you think about growing up, you had that parent or that individual, that adult that you just admired, you can come to that person with the confidence. You knew that they were stronger, obviously, because there's just this healthy reference of them being an adult, right? But you came to them with confidence. It's like the child that says, "Mom, can I have some ice cream?" Even if you say no, but they're coming to you with the confidence. And we need to do the same thing when it comes to Jesus Christ. Listen, if you have been hurt by family, anyone in the church, or anyone that identifies as a believer in the Lord, and they have ruined that expectation as to how you can come to God, I just want to say that I'm sorry. And you also need to know they do not represent the actions of Jesus Christ, because that is not our Lord. He's not an abuser. He's a lover and an empowerer. And so if you said yes to him, Paul is just saying, come boldly and confidently to him. So the first thing we need to do when it comes to opening our heart, if you're struggling with opening your heart, number one, go to God. Second thing is this, as a caveat, I guess you could say, so we're still in the go part. The thing that the Lord wants you to do more than anything is go to him, even if you're struggling with that open heart. One of my favorite prayers is in the book of Matthew, this is Father, who has a daughter basically that's sick, and he goes to Jesus. And Jesus asks him, do you believe? And I love the Father's response. The Father's response is, I want to believe, Lord, help me with my unbelief. So as you go to God, and if you're still struggling to be open with that, tell that to the Lord. Let God know, I want to believe, Lord, but help me with my unbelief. Because I promise you, God can work with that. So number one, go to God. Number two, pray. Like, just pray. And you're thinking, pray for what? Pray for his empowerment. His empowerment. What the verse says, not your empowerment, pray for his. Have you ever been asked to do something, think about this, by your leadership or something, or you've been asked to do something by someone else in the workplace, whether it's a coworker, or maybe you have been tasked to carry out a task, right? And you go up to that person and they say, hey, I need your help with something. And they go, sorry, I'm busy. I don't have time to do it. Okay. But then when you say, Mr. or Mrs. So-and-so said, they get up and start moving, right? It's kind of like the whole, when a private goes out and they're basically trying to tell a sergeant or whatever to do something, sergeant's gonna look at the private like they lost their mind. But if a private says, well, Captain So-and-so said, or Colonel So-and-so said, everybody gets up and move. Why? Because now that individual is not moving in their empowerment. They're moving in his or hers empowerment. So when you pray, do not pray for your empowerment. You have to pray for the Lord's. Remember what Paul said in Ephesians? He said, you can tap into the Lord's unlimited resources. But that implies that you are going to him with his empowerment and not yours. And as you do that, because here's the deal, remember, keep this in mind. This is a benefit that we have as Christians, because God will never call you to do something outside of what he will empower you to do. There's a statement that we hear often, you know, that God won't allow, something along the lines like, God won't allow you to take anything that you can't handle. So which I would say, there are times actually in life where things are so big and they're too big for us to handle, and God is going to use it as an opportunity for you to be dependent on him. There are times, fam, where I've faced things in life, it is too big for me to handle, but not with the Lord. So the next time you're struggling with something, pray for his empowerment, not yours. Because those are going to be things that's going to help you overcome those barriers. And as you're praying too, ask the Lord, what is it that I need to give up? It could be something that you're watching. It could be someone that you're hanging with that you need to cut back that time on, right? If you're hanging out with them, I said earlier, if you're hanging out with them 10 times a month, you might only need to hang out with them one time a month. I don't know. You have to make that decision. Is it getting back in the church? Is it tithing back to your church? I don't get anything off of that. Whatever it is, though, what is that thing that is keeping you in the same routine and the same rhythm that the Lord is trying to break you out of? And bring that to the Lord. So number one, we go. Number two, we pray. And number three, we submit. Ooh, we hate that word. That's a curse word for some of us, right? But we got to submit. We have to submit. Here's the deal. We all submit to something. We all submit to people at the workplace. We all submit to our government. Like, you pay your taxes. At least I hope you do, right? Whatever it is, you submit to something on a regular basis, okay? And when it comes to the Lord, listen, he is king. He is Lord, and we are not. And he knows the better ways. His ways are higher than our ways. But are we going to trust him with that? Now, here's the deal. Some of us, when we even hear that word right now, we're like, Mark, I just really struggle with the word submit. But here's the deal. If you're going to the Lord, going back to the first two steps, if you're going to the Lord with confidence and boldness, and as you're going to the Lord with confidence and boldness, and you start praying for his empowerment, right? You're already in the process of keeping your heart and your mind and your soul and your spirit open to him. So by the time you submit, it's not so much fist clenching. And now it's more, Lord, this is hard, but because I love you and you're empowering me, I now have open hands and open heart to go, I'm here. Matter of fact, a prayer that I learned from one of my professors, Dr. Hosfeld. It's a beautiful prayer. Now try to pray it over me, not as often as I should, but I'm going to say it because I want the same prayer for you. He said, I pray to the Lord, God, I want everything you have in store for me. Nothing more, nothing less. I want that same thing for you. Because if it's anything more, then it's outside the will of the Lord. If it's anything less, then I'm not operating in the fullness of God. I want you to receive everything that God has in store for you. Nothing more, nothing less. But if we want to receive that according to his plan and purpose over your life, it requires me to submit. And as I submit, it does require me to give up some things. But don't look at what you're losing. Look at what you're getting. So when you go to the Lord, when you pray, and you walk in his empowerment and not yours, and then you hit that third step when you submit, because God's just going, my son, my daughter, will you submit to me? Will you trust me? And if you're struggling, just like that father, right in the book of Matthew, when he went up to Jesus with the daughter, I want to, Lord, help me with my unbelief. God can work with that. So what do? We go to God. We pray to God. We submit to God. We go to God. We pray to God. We submit to God. Three words. Go, pray, submit. Go, pray, submit. Go, pray, submit. And we repeat. We do this to the end of time, fam. It's either we die or Jesus comes back. So what's the barrier? What's your barriers to your open heart? Is it fear? Is it inferiority? Is it superiority? Is it selfishness? Is it pride? Whatever it is. At the end of the day, just keep your heart open to the Lord. Whatever you're struggling with, go back and dwell on the goodness of God. Do not forget everything he's done for you. Pray. And if you're listening to this and you go, man, Mark, I want to know, learn more about this prayer. I did a session / episode, actually, season 2, episode 10, called How Do I Talk to God? So only a few episodes back from this one. But season 2, episode 10, How Do I Talk to God? So if you want to learn more about how to pray, that's the one. That would be your next step after this one. But guys, your life is way too short to not live it in the fullness of God. Remember, the only narrower and limiter and restriction of the Lord doing anything big in your life is not his ability. It's your closed off heart. So open your heart. How? By going to the Lord confidently and boldly, by praying for his empowerment, not yours, and then submitting to him. We keep an open heart by going to God, praying to God, and submitting to God. Amen. Hey, I love you. Let's talk about it, family. Thank you, as always, for joining me today. I hope you guys enjoyed this single/solo episode. If you guys are enjoying this, do me a favor, go ahead and post this right now. Post it on your Instagram, your Facebook, whatever it is that you like to use. Tag me in it at Mark K. Benton 2. If you have any questions or you want to give me any feedback or send me a voicemail, my website is markkbenton2.com. That's markkbenton2.com. And do me a favor, give me a 5-star review, please, on my Spotify. You can do it on Apple. You can also do it on the website. I promise you, the reviews go such a long way, and I read every single one of them. I really do. And it helps to get the channel noticed. But I love you, fam. Have a wonderful day. Love, grace, and peace out.